Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ann Pearson. Thank you. You may begin.
Hi, and good afternoon, and thank you so much, everyone, for your patience. It's a little bit of a rough start thanks to technology, but I think we've overcome that, and we're excited that you are here today. Before we start, I just want to go over a small technical detail, which is this is being broadcast on both a conference line as well as through the computer speakers. And this is because we have a short video that we would like to play at the beginning. However, if you wish to submit questions at the end of this call, you will have to submit it via the conference line. And the conference line number will be displayed on the chat box on the side of the webinar panel. So just be aware of that. It's also on the original invite that you received when you registered. And with that, I would like to turn this call over to Scott Wolfson, the Director of the Office of Communications for the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
And thank you very much. And on behalf of Chairman Elliot Kay, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to join us for the informational webinar today. There may very well be folks participating who were with us the last time, and I want to thank you for coming back again and say CPSC has learned a lot from the first experience of the solicitation that we did, and that's why we have a longer period for applications to be submitted. That's why we have a longer period of performance. We've listened to a lot of you because we want this to be successful. We want more of you to be able to be participants in this application process. It really has tremendous benefits to pool safety across the country in both the residential setting as well as the public setting in terms of drowning prevention and drain entrapment prevention. And the person who deserves some credit for us being here today, for the program we have, for the money being available, is Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She was the author of the legislation. She's been a driving force for good in terms of saving the lives of children and being able to have that understanding that it's the great work that all of you do at the state and local level that also deserves recognition and benefits from the federal legislation. So the Congresswoman was good enough to take some time to record a message specifically for all of you. So we're going to play that message right now.
Became law in 2008, it has helped tens of thousands of public pools and spas become safer for kids and adults. The safer drains that the law requires, and that many of you have helped to enforce, have resulted in zero, that's right, zero children being killed from a public pool entrapment incident over the past 7 years. The VGB Act, with your help, has honored and will continue to honor the memories of Virginia Graham Baker, Abby Taylor, Zachary Cohn, and other children taken far too soon. Yet there is still much work to be done. As Chairman Kay and I discussed at a pool safety event last month, drowning is still the leading cause of unintentional death for children between ages 1 and 4. And there are more than 5,000 non-fatal drownings each year involving kids younger than 15. These non-fatal drownings have a severe and lasting impact on kids as well. We must do better. We must do more to keep kids safer in and around the water. This is why the grant program is so important, and where you and your local team come in. The grant opportunity is intended to assist state and local governments, pool owners, and the public with education and enforcement programs that will help prevent drownings and drain entrapment. These grants will add an extra layer of protection in those communities that are awarded grants. After today's webinar, if you find that your county or state already has the proper pool safety code and that your agency is eligible for this grant, please make the effort to apply. The potential to save a child's life will make your time and effort well worth it. Those jurisdictions that are awarded grant funds will be able to improve enforcement, training, and education about pool safety in both public and residential settings. The grant program, along with teaching children how to swim, having adult supervision around the pool, and the existing provisions of the VPD Act, are all part of our nation's commitment to stopping drowning from being a leading killer of young children. We can do this if we all play our part. Thank you to Chairman Kay, Ann, Ellen, and Scott for their work on the Pool Safely campaign and the grant program. And thank you to everyone tuned in for all your hard work and public service to keep our communities safe and secure.
Thanks so much again to the Congresswoman for the time that she's committed to this issue, and hopefully take all those words to heart. We really want to inspire all of you that are eligible applicants to be informed based on today's webinar and to take the time to apply before the deadline. So with that, once again, thanks to all of you for joining us, and I'll turn it back over to Ann.
Thank you, Scott. Momentarily, we're going to bring up the PowerPoint presentation for the presentation. So give us 1 minute, and before that, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are, again, very excited to be offering this grant funding opportunity and that you could join us for this technical assistance call. I hope that we can answer many of your questions today. If you're getting any feedback from your phone line or your computer, just mute one of the lines and remember that we will be taking questions at the end of this call through the phone conference line. So the dial-in information is in the chat function on the right of your screen, and it is also in your invitation that you received from GoToWebinar when you registered. As Scott mentioned, we are reissuing the Pool Safety Grant Program, Pool Safely Grant Program, under funding opportunity number CPSC-16-001 with some updates, and that was based on your feedback. And so we're hoping that this program will better meet your needs and be more appealing. The webinar slides, call, and call transcripts from this call should be posted to the poolsafely.gov grant webpage within 48 hours of this call. And to go to the webpage, just simply type in poolsafely.gov and click on Grant Program in the yellow box in the upper right-hand corner. We've made it as easy as possible for you to get to our resources. There are also three resources that we have provided as handouts as part of this call. Thank you. And that is the funding opportunity, the PDF of the slides that we're presenting today, and the application narrative and review criteria side by side. And we'll cover what those mean in more detail as we go through this presentation. So with that, we're going to start our presentation. Welcome formally to the Application Technical Assistance Webinar for the FY16 Pool Safely Grant Program, also known as the PSGP. Announced under CPSC-16-001, the goal of today's presentation is to provide potential applicants an overview of the PSGP program, information, the purpose, the applicant, and application eligibility. We're going to provide you an overview of the how to apply, the review process, and the post-award requirements, as well as resources and contact information that you'll likely need in order to complete the application process. And I know that this is going to be a lot of information, but do keep in mind that if you're an eligible applicant, we strongly encourage you to apply and be a part of this life-saving initiative. Turn to slide 2, please. The grant program is authorized under Section 1405 is the Virginia Graham-Baker Pool and Spa Safety Act, or the VGB Act. A total of $1 million is available for awards. An individual applicant may request Please share the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. An individual applicant may request up to $250,000 in federal funding. You are not required to request a full $250,000. You can request whatever your need is within your jurisdiction. This will not impact your eligibility or scoring. So if you only need $150,000, that's fine. If you need $250,000, that's fine too. The period of performance for the award is 1 year. Please note that the previous funding opportunity had a six-month project period. Again, this funding opportunity has a one-year project period in which grantees will have to complete the grant-funded activities. It's anticipated that we'll make awards on or about November 13, 2015, with a project period start date of November 30th and a project period completion date of December 1st, 2016. Please turn to slide 3. The CFDA number, next slide. There you go. The CFDA number for this program is 87.002. There is a 90-day application window, and you'll have, at this time, a little over 2 months, about 63 days in which to apply. It's critical for you to submit your applications before or by August 19, 2015, because we cannot grant extensions for late applications. The only exceptions might be the grants.gov system being down for 24 consecutive hours or an extreme adverse event that might require a federal disaster declaration. So I'm going to say this several times, make sure that your grants.gov registration is complete and active well before the application deadline. Please turn to slide 4. So we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of what this grant is about. What's the purpose or use of the funds? I'm going to quickly read this, but this is intended to provide assistance to implement and enforce for implementing enforcement and education programs to prevent the drowning and drain entrapment of children in pools and spas. Funding is to be used specifically to, and here's the first part, hire and train enforcement personnel for implementation and enforcement of standards under the state or local swimming pool and spa safety law. At least 50% of the funds must be used for this purpose. A couple of important notes here. The state or local swimming pool and spa safety law includes a residential standard under VGB Act Section 1406. It doesn't mean only the commercial and municipal requirements, which everyone is very familiar with for the drain and barriers. It includes residential. And that 50% of the requested funding must be used or allocated for this purpose. There's a number of questions I've received on this section as well, which I'll try to respond to here. Hiring and training enforcement officials. What is an enforcement official? Those are officials with responsibility for enforcement, and that might vary among jurisdictions. In some, it might be the health department and the building department, or even the fire department. It's up for each jurisdiction to explain who the enforcement officials are. Will this pay for actual enforcement? No, this is very targeted for training those officials to have awareness of the state law requirements and how to conduct an inspection. Use and application of the training can be broader than just the enforcement. And you should address that as part of your application. What does hiring mean? Do I have to hire? We understand that most, if not all, jurisdictions are not expanding their enforcement staff at this time. Hire means to recruit, not to pay for the salaries of enforcement officials. This is very important. Submitting an application that does not address hiring enforcement officials does not make the application ineligible. It could still be an eligible application. Applications that do not include hiring enforcement officials will still be reviewed and scored. And CPSC certainly may make an award to applicants that did not include hiring an enforcement official. Please turn to slide 5. So here's the rest of the purpose and use. To educate pool construction and installation companies and pool service companies about the standards, pool operators and other members of the public about the standards under the swimming pool and spa safety law, and about the prevention of drowning or entrapment of children using swimming pools and spas, as well as to defray the administrative costs with such training and education programs. A couple of notes on this section is, what does education mean under number 2? That's pretty broad. It's up to the applicant to demonstrate how the proposed method of education, whether it's formal training or websites or water safety courses or PSAs, will reach their intended audiences. Again, applicants don't need to educate all the audiences listed, but audiences should relate back to the community population and enforcement and education needs identified in the application introduction. What are administrative costs? Administrative costs can include the people who are managing the grant, who provide administrative services, printing. It's pretty broad, actually. And if you have specific questions on does that include, you can ask them in the conference call Q&A after this presentation or email me. But basically, it's administrative costs for everything except for the cost of hiring enforcement officials. Please turn to slide number 6. PSGP applicant eligibility. So who can apply? Eligible entities are state and local governments that demonstrate to the satisfaction of CPSC that they have enacted or amended a state or local law that meets the requirements specified in Section 1406 of the VGB and provide for the enforcement of the law. Please note that Section 1406, again, is the minimum state law requirements. That is, it includes not only the commercial and municipal requirements, but it also does have residential standards for barriers and drains, which must be adopted by the state or jurisdiction. Please turn to 7, slide 7. Thank you. You're on 6. Thank you. So what does it mean to demonstrate? Well, let's go over what Section 1406 of the VGB Act says first. A state or local government that meets the minimum state law will require by statute the enclosure of all outdoor residential pools and spas built more than 1 year after the date of enactment of such a law by barriers to entry that will effectively prevent small children from gaining unsupervised and unfettered access to the pool or spa, and that pools and spas, note that it is all, doesn't define whether it's commercial or residential, pools and spas built more than 1 year after the date of enactment of such a state or local law have more than one drain, one or more unblockable drain, or no main drain, and that the state or local government provides for enforcement of that law. Note that there is a little difference between what I put up here and the statute itself, and that the time frame is 1 year for both the drain and the barrier, and we have had that legal clarification that this is not a retroactive requirement. It is 1 year from when the law or statute or code was enacted. And also important, very important, is that we understand that a lot of jurisdictions have fully adopted the International Swimming Pool and Spa Code, the ISPSC, and we're the 2015 code version we know is meets all the requirement of Section 1406. So that's important to note. And if you have any questions, again, you can ask in the conference call, Q&A, or send me an email, or give me a call. So how do we demonstrate to CPSC that we have this law? Applicants must submit a full copy of the applicable state or local laws. They must identify specific sections of the applicable laws that meet each requirement under Section 1406, provide an explanation of how the state or local laws meet each of those requirements under Section 1406. I know this seems like a lot, but this is necessary for CPSC because some of these laws can be quite voluminous and voluminous, I think is the proper term. And this helps us understand exactly and quickly that your law meets the statutory requirements. Applicants that do not submit this information or whose state or local law doesn't meet the requirements specified in the VGB Act will be determined ineligible. Because this is technically difficult, we recommend that you work with your building code officials or your general counsel to put this part of the application together. You may annotate your state or local laws with the corresponding information, but this is very important. And we understand that not everybody is going to be eligible for this grant program. And again, if you are, realize that you're in a limited pool of applicants. And again, we strongly encourage you to submit an application. Next slide, please. So here are some details on the application eligibility itself. The requested amount of federal funding must be less than or equal to $250,000. So if you ask for $300,000, your application is going to be marked ineligible. Documents counted in the page limits may not exceed 80 pages, and those are the application and budget narrative, schedule, staffing plan, and other attachments that applicants wish to attach that are not specifically required or requested in the FOA. And you must contain documents that are required for completeness and eligibility, and those are the SF-424 face page and the state law eligibility documentation, which we just covered. The funding opportunity announcements does contain a pretty detailed table that explains all of this as well. Next slide, please. The application deadline for when applications are due in the grants.gov is August 19th at 11:59 p.m. Don't wait until 10 o'clock at night to submit this. In fact, don't wait till August 19th. If you can get this in a week earlier, that's even better. Because if you have technical difficulties, because all of a sudden everybody wants to submit at the same time or the system is down for an hour, that will not be a reason for an extension. There is about 63 days left to put together an application, so I'm really confident that all of you have well-defined needs that you can get an application together in a timely manner, and I'm here as a resource to help you do that. So I cannot emphasize it enough. The deadline is August 19, 2015 at 11:59 p.m. Next slide, please. Information about grants.gov. Only one application may be submitted for consideration from the same applicant organization, and that's really the jurisdiction. If more than one application is submitted by an applicant, CPSC will accept the applicant's last electronic submission validated by grants.gov before the deadline date as the final application. Offices within a jurisdiction should not apply separately. So if the health department and the building code folks are going to collaborate on this project, one office should be responsible as the grantee and submit the application, because we'll be unable to consider those separate applications as one project, and that would impact your scoring. So next slide, please. Slide number 12. As I mentioned previously, registration in grants.gov is required, and registration may take up to 1 month. This is not a easy process. We understand that. Those of you who have grants.gov registration currently, make sure that it is active. An incomplete registration in grants.gov will not be a justification for an extension. Please turn to slide 13. The grants.gov registration process involves some basic steps. You'll have to obtain your organizational DUNS number. You'll have to register the organization with SAM, the System for Award Management. Then register the organization with grants.gov, and then get authorized as an authorized organization representative in AOR by your organization in grants.gov. Grants.gov has a lot of technical information and is available at the link provided at the bottom of this screen. And I also will be providing the helpline information for grants.gov at the end of this presentation. Please turn to slide 14. So the following, when you go and retrieve your application from grants.gov for the Pool Safely Grant Program, the following documentation will be provided through the grants.gov system. The application for federal assistance, the budget information for non-construction programs, the assurances for non-construction programs, the disclosure of lobbying activities, the grants.gov lobbying form, and other attachments form, which is you're going to upload your project narrative and all the other attachments 1 through 8 and any other attachments that you would like will be uploaded into the other attachments form. And detailed instructions for completing these documents and submitting them are available within the funding opportunity announcement. Slide 15, please. So please visit the grants.gov website at www.grants.gov or call the grants.gov contact center at 1-800-518-4726, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, except, of course, federal holidays. For additional information on the registration process and submitting an application. Slide 16, please. So I'm getting back into the meat and potatoes of your application again. Completing the PSGP application. Again, as I mentioned, you're going to submit 8 attachments. There'll be documents as under the other attachments form in grants.gov. And that's the project narrative, the budget narrative, the schedule, the staffing plan, the state law eligibility, an indirect cost rate if you have one, a funding preference if you wish to request one, and other relevant documents that you see necessary to paint your picture for us. Please note that if attachments marked required for completeness are not uploaded, the application will be considered incomplete and non-responsive, and there's only 2 of those. And that's actually the SF-424 and the state law eligibility. And those applications will be ineligible and they will not proceed to objective review. Attachments marked required for review, if they're not uploaded, the application when it goes for review may actually have a negative impact on the scoring because all of those documents are used as part of the assessment of the score for those applicants. Please turn to slide 17. All right, so this, the project narrative for the Pool Safely Grant Program, this is where you paint the picture of your need and what you want to do for us. It's comprised of 4 sections, the introduction, the work plan, the resources and capabilities, and the project evaluation plan. The project narrative should address activities to be conducted over the entire project period. Please do use these section headings because they correspond to the review criteria. The project narrative corresponds to the review criteria, and the review criteria is used by the Objective Review Committee to review and score your individual application. Please turn to slide 18. Note that there is a 80-page limit. There is a table in the funding opportunity that talks about what documents are included in the page limit and which ones are not. And then there are also formatting requirements. So single space, 12-point font, 8.5 by 11 paper with a page margin of 1 inch. Please turn to slide 19. The budget. The funds requested on the SF-424 object class categories and the budget on the budget narrative, the math must add up. It should match. Because there is no matching or cost-sharing requirements from non-federal sources, the budget should reflect 100% federal funds. The budget narrative must describe the scope of work to be performed within the project. Please be sure to provide a detailed description for every line item on the SF-424A form. And refer to Appendix A in the guidance for more specifics on submitting the budget. It's very important to note that because at least 50% of the total award must be spent on training and hiring of enforcement officials, the costs for those activities must be separated out and clearly identified within the budget narrative. Lack of a clear and detailed budget may impact your score or result in disallowed costs. So the budget is very important. Turn to slide 20, please. Funding preference. So for the FY16 PSGP, a preference shall be given to states and local governments with the greatest child drowning and pool safety needs. An application with a final ORC application review score of 70 or above will be assessed to receive the 5-point adjustment. That adjustment needs to be requested separately, and you will have to provide documentation for it. An application must clearly set forth accurate and reliable data demonstrating that the number of incidents involving child drowning, non-fatal submersions, and drain entrapment in the jurisdiction relative to applicable populations significantly exceeds comparable national statistics during comparable periods. So that's the funding preference. Please turn to slide 21. There is data for the funding preference available, and it's not limited to just this data. This is just one source of data. But statistics on national pool and spot injury is available at the link provided on the screen. Please turn to slide 22. So when CPSC receives your application, what happens next? Your application will be submitted, and it will go through kind of three basic processes. First, a completeness and eligibility review. This is an initial review to ensure the applicants have submitted all required documents and meet eligibility criteria. So do you have state law? Do you meet the state law requirements? Do you have your SF-424? It's pretty straightforward. After that, if you pass that process, then you go to objective review committee. The objective review committee reviews and scores applications based on the review criteria and determines the application of the funding preference point. So they're going to score it, and then they're going to see if 5 points for funding preference it was requested and determine if that can also be applied. Then what CPSC will do is take those scores, those final scores, and do a rank order list. And we'll go down the list from the highest score to the lowest score, and we'll fund the applications at the amount that they request until there's no funding available. And those applicants who are funded will become grantees and receive a notice of award that they were a successful applicant, and congratulations. Please turn to slide 23. So, a little more background on what an objective review committee is. An objective review of the applications will be performed to assess the merit of eligible applications based on the review criteria and the funding announcement. The introduction is worth 25 points. The work plan is up to 30 points. Resources and capabilities up to 25 points. And the project evaluation plan is worth 15 points. As part of the handout today and on the PoolSafely.gov grant webpage, there is a very handy resource, and it's the side-by-side of the narrative and review criteria. This is really a critical document, I think, when you're preparing your project narrative, because those are the answers, the questions that you're answering. That is what you are painting a picture for the ORC of what your needs and what your project goals are. So do use that. And can we turn to slide 24? The notice of award. If you are successful and the application is funded, a notice of award will be issued as the authorizing document. This is parallel to a contract document. The notice of award contains the following information: terms of award, conditions of award, approved budget, amount of federal funds awarded, and a project description. If you are awarded, you should expect to have biannual progress reports, a site visit, and a final report to measure progress and performance of the grant's goals and objectives. Next slide. Slide 25. Resources. And again, I thank everybody for their patience, because I know this is a lot of information to go through. But I think I may have answered a lot of questions already and maybe generated a few new ones, but we are almost at the end of this call. Resources. Grants.gov website. You can see the link. If you want to look up the grant, all you have to do, grants.gov, go on the search bar and type in CPSC. It will be the only thing that pops up is this grant. And the Pool Safety Grant Program website, which is the link provided right there, or just go to poolsafely.gov and click on Grant Program on the upper right-hand corner. Next slide. Contacts, slide 26. The grants.gov contact center information is provided, as well as my contact information, which is my phone number is, and I'm Ann Pizen again, my phone number is 301-504-7261, and my email is the one that I would like for this grant program is grants with an S at cpsc.gov. And finally, slide number 27. So, why apply for the Pool Safely Grant Program? Because we know you have needs in your community and that this can help you save even more lives and create safer pools and spas in your community. Again, I thank everybody for your patience. This concludes the presentation portion of this call. And we will now move to the Q&A session. We will be taking calls over the conference call line, and we'll give you a few minutes, and we'll give you about 2 minutes, and I'm going to turn this over to the operator. Oh, and one more thing. If your call isn't answered today, just email or call me at my phone number or at my email. I'm happy to answer any of your questions. Operator?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your first name and location clearly. If you need to withdraw your question, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1, and it will take a few moments for those questions to come through. Please stand by. I do show questions coming in. Please stand by.
Yay.
Our first question comes from Christina from Phoenix, Arizona. Go ahead, ma'am. Your line is open.
My question is pertaining to the the funding for hiring and training enforcement personnel. Mm-hmm. And is the funding, does the funding include any of the fringe benefits associated with costs for hourly rates? For example, do we need to line item out insurance and taxes, that kind of thing? Does that make sense?
Not for the initial proposal. So we may come back to you if you receive an award. We may come back to you and ask you to break out the fringe benefits. But, yes, fringe benefits certainly can be part of the total cost, you know, salary or rate for the people involved with delivering or administering the grant.
So we would include that in the budget?
Yes.
Okay.
So it could be like a trainer, or you've got a grant manager on your end who's saying, hey, you know, let me orchestrate this part and talk to the trainer, and let me account to CPSC for how much money we've expended so far. You might have someone who's doing the room rentals, and so, yes, that can account for all of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Donna from Detroit. Go ahead, your line is open, ma'am.
Yes, hi. As a local government agency, and we have a group of pools in our rec centers, can the funding be used for us to hire, I guess, someone, organization, or whatever, to come in and train our pool staff?
That could be part of it, but train them for what?
In the, I guess, as in relation to the grant, the pool safety and the drainage and, you know, how to maintain the drain of the pools and things of that. Is that what the funding is to be used for?
It's not for maintenance. It is for...
In regards to training the staff about pool maintenance.
It's about actually understanding what the drain and barrier requirements are specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not for how to fix it or how to keep the water, you know, water quality clean. It could be used for training enforcement officials on, hey, when I go out to do the inspections to open the pools, or if I'm mm-hmm. doing routine inspections while during the pool season, I will know that I need to look for A, B, and C. You know, on a commercial or a municipal pool, or I need to look at XYZ for a residential pool. So that's kind of the target. Now, it could also be used for train the trainer for people who are doing education and drowning prevention, or drowning prevention or training directly to any of those recipients, the general public, pool service operators, pool maintenance, yeah. So does that make more sense?
Now, when you say drowning prevention, so our staff could be trained so that they can better educate the public?
Your staff could be, well, and again, I'm not entirely sure what the staff is. So
when I say staff, I'm talking like we have currently, I mean, like for our summer season, we have like 20, 30 lifeguards.
Okay. So you could use that if they wanted to deliver courses on swimming and how to, like, basic swimming classes so that, you know, you're preventing drowning
mm-hmm.
To at-risk populations. That could be a possible use of funds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But remember, you have to cover the 50% requirement as well, and then, you know, the remainder can be used for that purpose, among other things. But I think that this is a really specific question, so maybe if you have further questions on this, you can give me a call directly.
Okay. I'm sorry. Could I have asked just one more in regards to the match? Or did I hear correctly that a match is not required, or there is a match?
There is no match. This is 100% federally funded. Yes.
Okay. No. All right, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your first name and location clearly. Currently, we have no questions in the queue.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, and I really appreciate your time and listening to this call, and I hope to get some more questions and emails from you guys shortly as you ponder the requirements of this grant. And again, if you're an eligible applicant, you really should strongly consider applying because we understand there's just a limited pool of people who would be eligible on the state and local level. So thank you again, and have a great day. The webinar slides and the webinar slides are currently up on our website, but the transcripts and audio will be up within 48 hours.
Excuse me, ma'am. We did have two more questions come in if you'd like to take them.
Absolutely.
Okay. The first one is from Christina in Phoenix once more. Go
Hello
ahead. Your
again.
Line is open.
Hi. I've got actually two more questions. The first is our local law is the entire fire code and building code, which is about 500 pages long. Do you want that entire code, or
no,
do you just want the section that pertains to pools and spas?
Just the sections that pertain to pools and spas on both the municipal commercial side and the residential side, and it would be the barriers and the drains.
Okay, that's perfect. And then my second and last question pertains to a jurisdiction. To our knowledge right now, we are only submitting for two different sections in a combined proposal within the fire department. But should other city departments wish to apply, that would be one proposal from the city of Phoenix, or could different departments within the city of Phoenix apply?
It really should be one jurisdiction.
Okay. One jurisdiction meaning
yes.
we'd need to combine for City of Phoenix.
Yes, because
okay.
the way that the law is stated is to state and local governments. It doesn't talk about, like city agencies. It goes in at the local jurisdiction level.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Ryan from Cedar Rapids. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. You had referenced that the International Pool, Spa, and Hot Tub Code meet all the requirements of 1406A, 1A.
Yeah.
Is that the only code, or does the Uniform Pool, Spa, and Hot Tub Code meet those requirements also if jurisdictions have adopted that code?
It might. I don't know the detail, but what I would actually suggest is you email me that question, I will get you. If you give me a specific citation on which version of the code it is, like what year it is, and if you've adopted the full code, I can give you an answer back. And that you bring up an important point is that, not everybody, it's very hard to determine by yourself whether it meets the 1406 requirements or not. And if you get me your code quickly, I can help you find that out. So just give me an email with the info, and I will get back to you.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
There are no further questions in the queue. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And, again, thank you for taking your time out of your day to be with us. And I look forward to hearing from you, and have a great afternoon. Take care.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.